Good morning. Before I begin with this morning's message, I want to take a moment and thank Fred for filling in as worship leader this morning, America, and all of the others who have helped to make this morning's worship service possible. As you all can tell, I'm not physically with you this morning. Our family had the opportunity to meet my parents for a long weekend in Rio Doso, and so we are there. But I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to share a message with you all, even electronically. I have to be honest with you all, since we started offering live worship in March with the COVID shutdown online, I've wanted to see if this was something that was possible, to be able to deliver a message through a recording and then share it in worship on a Sunday. The first reason is I just wanted to see how it would work, but also the second reason I think is a little more practical, and part of that is, you know, in this time of unknown and potential shutdowns and quarantines and stuff like that, I really think it's valuable for us to know and to make sure that we can do this in the event that, like, my family and I find out on a Thursday or something that we need to be quarantined for the weekend. Then I can deliver the message that I've prepared electronically, load it into the worship software, and then share it with you all on a Sunday morning. And so I hope that this is a nice way and a good way for us to share in worship this morning and for me to share the message that God's laid on my heart. And so I look forward to being with you all in person next Sunday. And I invite you now to hear this morning's scripture reading, which comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey, as the Lord commanded. They set up their camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people argued with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people were very thirsty for water there, and they complained to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are getting ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand the shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Hit the rock. Water will come out of it and the people will be able to drink." Moses did so while Israel's elders watched. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites argued with and tested the Lord, asking, "Is the Lord really with us or not?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I begin this morning, I want to share with you all an experience from our time in El Paso. It's kind of a fun little story, and it's from when our family lived in El Paso a few years ago. One summer, the laundry was being done in our house, and as the laundry was being done, I started hearing a sound out of the laundry room. It was kind of a loud clanking sound, except it was kind of muffled, like something was wrapped around something hard as it made the noise. And so I went in the laundry room to see what was causing the noise. I found the washer making normal sounds as clothes are washed. I found the dryer sounding normally in terms of the motor and fan and everything else. But yet in all those noises, there was still a dull kind of thumping sound. And so I opened the dryer, because that's easier to check in the middle of a cycle than a washer. And I began pulling items out until I came to a pair of denim shorts that belonged to Katie, who was 4 at the time. And so I pulled these shorts out and I looked at them and I saw that there was a suspicious looking bulge in one of the front pockets. And so I reached in there and pulled out a good-sized rock that Katie had in her pockets. And so curious, I called her. And I asked her, "Can you tell me why this rock's in your pocket?" Now, so her reaction was not what I expected. Because instead of getting upset or worried, she let out a loud yay. And then she shared with me that she was keeping that rock in her pocket at school every day. She had that rock in her pocket so that when time came for her to play hopscotch, she was ready. See, she wasn't kidding. That rock and some of its friends made constant appearances that summer. As Katie came home from preschool each day, and we would take the rock out of her pocket before she got dressed and bathed, And then in the morning, after she'd get dressed, she'd put one of the rocks back in her pocket so that she would be ready whenever it came time to play hopscotch. I have to admit to you, as I've thought about her story and about mine, a rock in my pocket as a young boy would not have been used for hopscotch. And I'm sure some of you are thinking of your younger years and thinking about what you would have done with a rock that was in your pocket in your childhood. Depending on my age, I probably would have done a few things. The first, when I was really young, and because my parents' home is located in the desert and there's lots of room and you can throw rocks and not really have to worry about hitting other people's houses. You know, when I was little, I would have carried a rock just to throw at stuff, because that's just what you do. As I got older, I would have carried more than one rock. They would have been smaller rocks and probably rounder rocks in order to shoot from a slingshot. And then I got to thinking about when we would go fishing with my parents and grandparents. And as you would walk down to the lake or wherever the fishing spot was going to be there on the lake, you'd keep your eye out for that stone. You know, the perfect one that was kind of flat and rounder, kind of UFO shaped, fit in your hand just right. And you'd put that one in your pocket, because that one was the perfect one, that when the time came, when all the fishing lines got pulled out of the water, that you could let loose with it and see how many times it would skip across the surface of the water. In our scripture this morning, I'm reminded of the many ways that we carry rocks in our own lives as well. In Exodus 17, as we've read it, I think the people of Israel had quite a few rocks that they were carrying on their own. If you read the book of Exodus on its own and look at the reaction of the people of Israel to Moses and the way that they dealt with the different things that were going on, I don't always think that they were that appreciative of a group. I don't think they looked at Moses and they thought, oh, we owe him so many thanks because of all that he's done with gratitude. I don't think they looked at him with overwhelming appreciation for everything that he had done for them. And so in our scripture this morning, he's led them from Egypt. They've been there for over 400 years, for generations, and in leaving Egypt, they've traveled through the wilderness, across the desert. Moses has led them further and further from Egypt, and as they have experienced more and more, I believe that they've picked these up as they've gone. They've picked up rocks, and they've carried them, biding their time for when and how they were needed to be used. And so they picked the rocks up and they put it in their pocket, or they tucked it in a satchel or a bag that they were carrying it, or they put it on the pack of an animal that they were leading on this journey. And as they put these rocks in the different places, I believe that they stopped or at least were unable to see the presence of God in their midst. They'd gotten used to the way that God had and was revealed himself to them. And so if you think about it, they no longer could see how God had parted the waters of the Red Sea as they were fleeing from the army of Pharaoh. They'd stopped seeing the pillar of fire that was before them in the night, or the column of smoke that was there before them leading them through the wilderness during the day. And they even stopped appreciating the manna that God dropped down from heaven every morning for them to go out and gather in order to bake the bread for that day's meals. And then when they got tired of the manna, and God sent quail for them to gather and eat, they even got tired of that too. And so in our scripture reading this morning from Exodus 17, there's a really specific reason that the people of Israel have begun to call out against Moses. And that's because they've come to a camp called Rephidim. Rephidim is a camp that as they arrived, they looked around and there was no source of water. So they would not have an opportunity to refill their water jugs that have started to go dry. There's nowhere for them to go to lower the jugs down or to find a well or anything else. And so they looked to God, but instead of just looking to God, they didn't see the promise of God that was before them. Because remember, they were blind to the pillar of fire and blind to the column of smoke that was right there. And they began to think about Egypt. Remembering that in Egypt, whenever their jugs went dry, they went to wells that never were empty. And they were able to refill their jugs and go home, and they always had more than enough water than they could ever have needed. And so as they thought of those things, the scripture tells us that anger began to brew. Anger that was directed at Moses, anger that was directed at their situation, anger at where they found themselves, and yes, even anger at God. They were so angry, and in their anger, Moses even feared for his life. As he cried out to God and he said, "What am I to do with these people? What am I to do with these people? What am I to do with these people who are blaming me for everything? What am I to do with these people who are unable or unwilling to trust you in this moment? What am I to do with these people who have lost the sight of you in their midst and instead are focused on their only needs and wants and desires?" Can you hear Moses saying, "What am I to do?" And what was he to do? See, they were ready to stone him. They gathered the stones in their pockets and they had carried them just in case for a day like today. Was he to run? Was he to flee? Was he to fight back and throw the stones that I'm sure he had begun gathering in his own pockets for occasions just like this one? And see, in our own story, we can ask these same questions of ourselves and of God in our own situations. What are we to do in the times and in the places when we feel like we need to call out to God about others, when we say, "Why don't they get it? Why don't they act the way they do? What am I supposed to do? Do I fight? Do I stay? What?" Because see, our tendency is to pull the rocks that we've stored in our own pockets, and our tendency is to use them against other people. Or what we can do is we can take our rocks out of our pockets and we can drop them. And by dropping them, we put ourselves in a position to reconnect with God and to reconnect with the ways that God is in our midst. See, Moses didn't throw the rocks when he could have, and probably, I mean, he should have. He could have. He could have lashed out at the people for their disbelief. He could have lashed out for the people at their short-sighted trust. He could have lashed out at their unwillingness to see God in their midst, but he didn't throw rocks. And so what he did is he turned to God, and God said, "Strike the rock in your midst. I will be before you at Horeb. When you strike the rock, water will come forth." And so Moses did just that, and water burst forth from the rock. And when the water burst forth, God once again became apparent in the people of Israel's midst. Or perhaps God wasn't apparent because God was there, but the people opened their eyes to see how and what God had done and continued to do within their midst. See, the stones were Israel's to throw. The stones were Moses's to throw. But the water, the life-giving water, was only God's to give. And so here's the connection that I see in this passage of Scripture with our own life and in our own time that we are living in today. Because we carry rocks as well. For some of us, we might carry rocks to play hopscotch. But more often than not, the rocks that we carry are kind of for the same reasons that Israel carried them, to be used against other people. And we might carry the rocks just in case. I don't think Israel carried them planning that they would need to be directed at Moses. But like us, they carried them because they thought at some point they might need them. And that's what we do. Because we don't know who we might need to use them against. But we carry them anyway. And if you think about the time that we live in today, we live in a time where it is way too easy for us to throw rocks, to immediately think the worst of another, to immediately think the worst of someone else's viewpoint or the way that something else has happened. It is way too easy for us to pull the rocks out of our pockets and throw them at someone else. I want to invite you to think about the times and the ways in your life, in just your ordinary, regular, you know, not really spectacular, average day. Think of the opportunities that you have in your life to throw rocks. See, as I think about it, the opportunities seem endless. Watch the news. You have plenty of opportunities there probably to throw rocks. Get on social media. There are lots of opportunities to throw rocks there. In fact, maybe more than one of us could even carry in a day. Pay attention to the election. Pay attention to events unfolding. Look at different things in the world. See, here's the thing. As in every one of those situations, there are ways and opportunities that you and I have to throw rocks at others. To be frank, there's an abundance of opportunities for us to throw rocks. But today we have to wrestle with the fact that that is not who God calls us to be as disciples and as followers of Jesus Christ. See, friends, the people of Israel, they received the life-giving water not because of an action that they did, but because of an action that God did on their behalf. And see, we're given that same opportunity in the way that God has sent his son Jesus, in the way that God came down in the person of Jesus to sacrifice his life so that you and I might receive and be given the gift of salvation, the life-giving water that comes to us from God only through his son Jesus Christ. But see, here's the thing. If you're too busy clenching in your hand the rocks that you're trying to carry, just in case you may need to use them against someone else, then it's really hard to catch and to receive the life-giving water that Christ offers you today. If we're too busy clinging to the things that we make idols in our lives, or we place in a higher position than God or other aspects, then we totally miss the opportunities to receive the gifts and the ways that God has chosen to reach out to us through the gift of grace and through the power of his Holy Spirit. See, for us to receive the living water of Jesus Christ, we have to drop the rocks that we're carrying. We have to pass by the opportunities that are before us to throw them. And we have to instead choose Christ. To choose Christ in our life, in our responses, in our actions, and in the way that we portray ourselves to the world. Because I want to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not as someone who takes the opportunities that I have to throw rocks at others. I want to be known of the way that I relate to other people and not according to the way that I react to other people. See, I think this scripture is timely for us because we live in a time that everything around us is telling us to throw rocks. And I think it's time for us as followers of Jesus Christ to be defined by a different thing. By the grace of Christ the forgiveness of God, and by the way that we receive the life-giving water that God offers us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.